Well, hey everybody, welcome to episode 101 of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast. As always, is brought to you by our good friends at the Ankeny Office of Iowa Realty. Iowa Realty is located at 1802 Southeast Delaware, suite number 103. Iowa Realty is a proud sponsor of Ankeny Fanatic. They have 75 agents specializing in residential, commercial, farm, and land properties. Well, we're going to be talking to a trio of collegiate athletes today who are all heading back to their respective campuses later this week. So I'm glad that we could catch up with them before they leave. In a little while, I'll be visiting with a couple of former Ankeny Centennial stars who have found Division I success in the sports of softball and volleyball. But right now, I want to bring in my first guest. He is a former Ankeny football standout who has become a record-setting quarterback at Central College, where he is about to begin his senior year with the Dutch. He is Blaine Hawkins. Blaine, thanks for coming in. How are you doing?
Pretty good. Thanks for having me in, Dan.
Hey, you bet. Well, before we talk some football, I wanted to ask you about your experience earlier this year doing an internship in London, which is where you were at when the COVID-19 pandemic hit. You know, so who were you working for over there, and what were you doing?
So I was working for a small company named Nimble Babies. We were working in a startup center sponsored by NatWest Bank. It's only about three people full-time for the company, but they work on providing plant-based cleaning products for families and mostly targeting, like, children, families. So trying to avoid a lot of those harmful chemicals. And in my role, I was working in the operations and mostly with the supply chain, which, I got to see a few of the effects of the initial coronavirus response. And, you know, a lot of the cleaning supplies were flying off the shelves. So it was really a struggle there for a little bit to find a lot of the products.
Oh, I'll bet. So you're over there for what, a couple months?
Yep, about two full months. Plant was supposed to be about four, but only got halfway through.
Well, what did you think of London? You know, did you enjoy your time there?
Yeah, I did. It's definitely a lot different than Ankeny. You know, I think 9 million people. When I want to go 7 miles to work, it's not going to take me 10 to 15 minutes. It's going to take me 1 hour and 10, and I have to take 3 buses and the train. So.
Oh wow.
Yeah, a little bit different, but overall really fun and a lot of different stuff going on. I think you know, in London you can find anything for you, no matter what you like. You're going to find something that matches up with it.
Well, so when the virus first started to spread, you know, when did you realize just how serious it was becoming?
I think about late February, and I think at that point it had we knew that it was leaving China or it was kind of spreading throughout the world, and London being such a global center, we figured, you know, London might be next on this list, and, I think it definitely hit Italy harder first, and at that point we realized, oh, it's probably on its way here, and I had a couple friends who were sent home from Italy early, so we knew it was coming, but we were just trying to make the most of it while we could and try not to worry about it too much, but it was definitely a stressful time.
Oh, I'll bet. So at some point, you know, did you make the decision to come home or did your employer decide to send you home?
It was actually Central College did. They made the final call there, decided they wanted to shut down all international programs, just, I think, liability-wise. And then shortly after, the City of London or the United Kingdom in general almost shut down, and my college there where I was staying shut down, so I'm glad they did bring us home because otherwise I would have been stuck there in a dorm room with nothing to do.
Oh, yeah. So was the trip home tough? You know, was that kind of an adventure?
Yep, definitely. We were notified we needed to leave by, I think, Monday on the Friday before. So, you know, only a few days to go. And I ended up getting a flight on Sunday, left London about noon, arrived in Toronto, Canada at, I think, about 4 p.m. local time and had about an hour and a half to get to my next flight, but also had to rush through U.S. Customs there in Canada. Because it supported entry, and while I was doing that, I got placed into this room with all European travelers because they were all wary of the coronavirus, and they were checking into our background history a lot, and, you know, I was sitting in this small room, and there was probably, you know, it was overcrowded, probably twice the capacity it was supposed to be in.
Oh, geez.
You know, everything we've learned, it's like that's the worst place to be probably for the coronavirus.
Yeah.
So I was kind of thinking, like, wow, this isn't a great situation, and they had taken our passports and everything, so I couldn't really get out of there, and eventually, after about 3 hours, I saw a group of college students go up, and they were getting their passports handed to them so they could finally leave. And I noticed the passport get handed to one of the guys in that group and had a barcode on the back like mine. So I went over and asked him, I was like, oh, is that your passport? And lo and behold, it's my profile picture right on it. And they'd handed him the wrong passport. So,
oh, geez.
Yeah, I was like, at that point, I thought, you know, if I hadn't done that, I probably would have been stuck in Canada for a few days because trying to sort that out. I know it's not easy to get a new passport. So finally got my passport, and they just let me go through, never booked a flight for me, never really helped me out much, but sent me on my way, and was able to get on a flight to Chicago that night, and then I finally got off that flight, and right across from me was a flight to Des Moines leaving at 10:30. I thought, you know, it's been about, you know, 24 hours of my day, it feels like, so far, and just hoping to get home that night, and asked them if I could get on the plane, and they told me they couldn't take my bags from the plane that was about a gate away, so ended up staying the night in Chicago and finally got home the next day. So,
oh gosh,
you know, over a day traveling, but yeah, it was definitely an experience.
Well, Blaine, I know you're planning to head back to Pella on Saturday to start preparing for the season, but the American Rivers Conference announced earlier today that it is postponing the football season from the fall to the spring semester. Now, the conference had previously announced that you would be playing a five-game season in the fall, but as I understand it, you're going to be the only, you know, D3 conference playing football in the fall, right, at that point?
Yes, we were going to be the only conference playing, I think, as of about a week ago.
So are you surprised at all by today's news?
Not really too much. I mean, I've been seeing what's going on with some of the D1 conferences, and considering all other D3 schools have canceled, felt like it was only a matter of time, and we had kind of had some rumors that the NCAA guidelines had changed around testing, and for us, it's not really going to fit into our athletic budget to be able to test athletes once a week and get our results within 24 hours. So when our coaches called a meeting last night, kind of figured this was coming.
Well, there has been a lot of discussion in the last couple of days, you know, amongst the Power 5 conferences about whether or not, you know, to have a football season. Sports Illustrated has reported that the Power 5 leagues are expected to cancel their seasons by the end of the week. And the first domino, of course, fell today when the Big Ten announced that it was canceling the season. So it's starting to look like maybe nobody's going to be playing football in the fall, right?
Yeah, man. It's hard to imagine a fall without football going on. I mean, hopefully the NFL can hang on. But, yeah, I'm going to have to figure out a way to spend my Saturdays now.
Well, how strange will that be for you? You've probably been playing since you were, what, like about 8 years old?
Yeah, probably about, you know, six. I've been pretty consistent playing on Saturdays or Sundays through Ankeny Junior Football League and then high school and college. So, yeah, I don't know. I've had some time to think about it a little bit, but I'm not really sure what I'm going to be doing with my time. So hopefully working on some hobbies.
All right. Well, before this latest news, the NCAA Division III Administrative Committee had already approved a recommendation that would allow student-athletes the option of extending their collegiate careers by one season. So if you guys, you know, play a shortened season in the spring, you might be able to come back in the fall then for a full season. Is that something that you've thought about? Would you like to come back and play then the next fall?
Yep, I'm definitely looking at next fall, hopefully having, you know, a regular season, just normal, having playoffs, having that chance to go compete for a national championship. As far as the spring goes, you know, I think that's definitely going to be a logistical nightmare, balancing spring sports and additional fall sports, plus trying to comply with whatever regulations are going to be in place, assuming there are still safety procedures that need to be there. Plus the fact that, you know, playing back-to-back football seasons in the span of about 8 months, it's pretty tough on everyone's body. So, I've kind of, you know, accepted that fall 2021 is probably going to be the first time we're going to be back on the field besides practices.
Yeah, that's kind of what I think as well. Well, now that the season has been postponed, you know, I am interested in getting your thoughts on what it would have been like to play this fall. You know, how did you feel about trying to play football during a pandemic? Did you feel like there was enough safeguards in place to keep you guys healthy?
Yeah, you know, I think from my experience, at least, and talking to a couple of people my age who I know have actually had the coronavirus, I was prepared to, you know, I was comfortable with those risks, being in an age demographic where I feel you're not as at risk. You know, I know the colleges have put in a lot of regulations, and I know Central has as well, to really focus on social distancing and trying to limit the amount of contact we have with people outside of our immediate bubble. So I felt pretty comfortable with that, and it was honestly kind of an interesting opportunity to be the only D3 conference playing. Maybe a chance for some increased publicity maybe for our team our conference, which, you know, whether or not that really matters that much, would have been kind of interesting to see. And I would have liked to, you know, been out there, because I haven't been in, you know, had the chance to play football since about last November, because I wasn't there for any of our spring stuff. So, yeah, it would have been pretty exciting to be there this fall.
Now, there have been some players at the Division I level who had decided to opt out of the season due to their health concerns. You know, were you aware of any Central players that decided not to play this fall?
Yeah, I've talked to a couple of my teammates, and some had decided not to play this fall for financial reasons. You know, there's only so many semesters they need to graduate, and they want to have the chance to play a full season, so it doesn't make a lot of financial sense for them to come back this fall and then go in the spring and then come for the next fall as well. So they were planning on taking this semester off and then coming back for the spring to do our whole offseason and spring ball and then play again in the fall. So a few guys, definitely. Probably not for the same reasons as the D1 guys, I know.
Sure.
A few of them are looking at, you know, the NFL draft and other financial reasons, so it's understandable.
Well, you kind of touched on this a minute ago, but I'll kind of follow up with you on this. You know, now that the season has been pushed back to the spring, you know, that does raise a whole new set of questions and concerns. You know, hopefully with the COVID-19 outbreak, you know, maybe things will be better as far as that goes in the spring. But, you know, there is a question about trying to play those seasons back-to-back, you know, with the spring and the fall, like, say, play five games in the spring and then a full season in the fall. I mean, do you think that's even doable?
No, I really don't think so. I think, you know, the way your body feels after a season as a player, you know, you're really beat down and you kind of need a little bit of time off to recover, and then you really need that off season to build up just mentally and physically to be prepared to put yourself through that grind again. And I think you know, that's definitely not in the best interest of player safety to have a really quick turnaround, because I guess I don't know the official dates, but if they're planning, you know, late February through May, you know, you're giving guys maybe two and a half months to play, and obviously no one wants to be playing in January to February when it's about, you know, 20 degrees outside. So
Well, last year your team won a share of a record 31st conference title and advanced to the playoffs for the 21st time. You know, it's kind of meaningless now, but your team was ranked number 10 in the Street and Smith College Football Yearbook, and you were number 21 in the preseason top 30 from the 2020 College Football America Yearbook. You know, so whenever you guys are able to hit the field again, do you feel like you guys are going to be pretty good?
Yes, I do. I think, you know, we return a lot of guys with experience and have a lot of young guys who have really contributed a lot over the past couple of years, and I think, you know, right now, a lot of teams are looking at who's going to be back for next year and talking with a lot of the senior class. I think we've got a pretty special group, and a lot of those guys want to be back for the fall of 2021. So that's pretty exciting to know we'll still have that chance. And I think we're all, you know, disappointed this year, but also excited to still have a chance in the future to get to play together.
All right, listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Iowa Realty. Gershman Mortgage is also a sponsor of the podcast. Gershman, the Midwest premier mortgage lender, is proud to be part of the Ankeny Fanatic Podcast. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home, vacation home, upgrade, or remodel an existing home, or refinance your current mortgage, Gershman Mortgage is here to help. With over 60 years in the mortgage industry, they have security, experience, and unmatched service. You can visit their Ankeny office, call 515-964-5952, or visit Gershman.com to get pre-approved today. Well, we're visiting with Central College quarterback Blaine Hawkins. And Blaine, let's talk about your career up to this point a little bit. Last year, you led your team to a 10-2 record, and you were named the American Rivers Conference Offensive Player of the Year. You were also selected to the D3Football.com All-West Region Third Team. You know, you had to be pretty happy with the season that you had.
Yeah, definitely. It was, a special year for us as a team overall, and then also for me individually. I was able to accomplish a couple of goals I set before the season, and, you know, I give a lot of credit for that to my teammates as well, you know, the offensive linemen. Do a great job keeping the pocket clean for me, and we've got some really talented receivers that go make a lot of plays, so I can't take credit for all of it, but it was special to be recognized at the end of the year, definitely.
Well, your season was highlighted by a 38-37 overtime victory against the University of Wisconsin Oshkosh in the opening round of the Division III playoffs. Your team trailed 31-7 at halftime in that game, and you still trailed by a touchdown with less than 2 minutes left when you took possession of the ball at your own 26-yard line. You then fired a 34-yard touchdown pass with 15 seconds left to Eric Canock to tie the score and send the game into overtime. And you kind of had to improvise on that play, didn't you?
Yep, definitely. I think, you know, the clock was running. There was about 20 seconds left, and we might have had one timeout that we were kind of saving for the very end, so we were hustling up to the line of scrimmage. And, you know, that's kind of the point in the game that, you know, you're not thinking too much. It's just really all natural and, like, natural instinct and reaction. So, yeah, it was definitely a play where, you know, had to scramble a little bit when it wasn't there right away, and our receivers kept working downfield, and, yeah, we were able to make it happen there at the end. And Eric Canock made a great catch in the back of the end zone, I think. You know, that's probably about the most exciting moment I've ever had on a football field.
Oh, I'll bet. Well, your team then closed out the season the following week with a 49-13 loss at Wheaton in the second round of the playoffs. You know, that team must have been really good, huh?
Yep, yeah. Wheaton was definitely a different challenge for us. They were really physical up front and also very fast, I think. Probably, I mean, the best team we've played in my career by far, and they were actually the only team last year to beat the NCAA Division III champions, North Central. They beat them earlier in the year by 14, and ended up, getting upset in the playoffs, and then North Central went on to win. So I think that was probably one of the top two teams in the country, and, you know, we didn't perform how we wanted to that game, but, you know, got to give a lot of credit to them, and it's really a good example of, you know, kind of where we need to get to if we want to be able to compete for a championship at that level.
Sure. Well, last year you completed 252 of 382 passes for 3,302 yards and 44 touchdowns. That sounds like some video game numbers. And hold on a second here. I got to find my spot. Okay, so you set school records for season pass completions, yards, and touchdowns. You ranked second in Division III in points responsible for. You were third in touchdown passes, seventh in passing yards, 13th in total offense, and 15th in passing efficiency. You know, did you ever imagine you'd be able to put up, you know, those kind of numbers before the season started?
No, definitely not. I think, you know, looking at my first 2 years playing, had some good years, some solid stats. But, yeah, last year everything just really fell into place, and the coaches really turned the keys of the offense over to all of us, a lot of guys with experience, and let us play really fast and aggressive and throw the ball down the field. And I think, you know, that's just all those stats are just representative of the confidence our coaches have in us and the confidence we have in each other when we're out there on the field.
Well, I think I counted 16 different school records that you currently hold, including most passing yards in a game, season, and career, and most passing touchdowns in a half, game, season, and career. You know, are there any records left for you to break?
I don't know. I'm sure there's a couple out there, but you know, it's not something that I think about too much going into the year. It just kind of happens throughout the year as we're, you know, winning games and winning conference championships. And I feel like all of this is kind of just like the auxiliary effects of that. And, you know, the main goals are still the team goals. So,
well, you became the starter at Central, you know, midway through your freshman season. You've, you know, held on to it ever since. You know, is it safe to say that you've exceeded all the expectations that you had for yourself going to Central?
I guess so, yeah. I know going in, I never thought I would play my freshman year, really, which maybe that's not very confident in yourself, but I felt it was realistic at the time. I knew I had a lot of development, a lot of progress to make before I was really a key Division III player, and, you know, kind of ended up getting thrown in there after some injuries and was able to kind of take that and run with it, and, yeah, I'm not going to give it up since, so.
Well, you played on some successful teams at Ankeny that played against some very tough competition in the CIML. Do you think your high school experience helped prepare you to play on that level?
Definitely. You know, recently I've seen a lot of guys my age who I played against playing at the Division I, Division II, or Division III levels and having success, and I can kind of look back and be like, yep, matched up against them in high school, and it's really cool to see them all having success, and I think playing against them definitely helped me prepare for Central. You know, the pace of the game at Class 4A and the size of the players is a lot bigger than some of the smaller schools, and I think that's definitely given me an edge over some of my peers.
Well, speaking of Ankeny, your old team was ranked co-number one in Class 4A in the offseason rankings by the Cedar Rapids Gazette. I'm sure you still follow the Hawks. You know, assuming that they are able to have their season, you know, they should be pretty good, shouldn't they?
Yeah, I'm really excited that Iowa high school football is still going on. Obviously, you know, I've talked to Coach Nelson a little bit recently and saw those guys playing baseball down at Principal Park. And, yeah, I think everyone's really looking forward to that first Friday. And, obviously, a lot of expectations for this team, but I think there's no reason why those guys can't rise up and achieve.
You probably wouldn't mind having somebody like Brody Breck to throw to on your team, would you?
No, definitely not. I think we could use him maybe if he's around.
Well, Blaine, have you thought about, you know, what you want to do after your football career is over?
Yeah, definitely a little bit. Things have changed in the last couple months, which I think they have for a lot of people. So probably not graduating until December 2021 now. But I think, you know, after my last game at Central, probably be done playing sports. So time to move on and look forward to a career. And, you know, I've had the chance to have some internships here in Ankeny at Casey's General Stores and then also obviously abroad. So those have kind of given me some different experiences so I can kind of build off that and looking forward to the future, but not really decided on what kind of path I want to follow.
All right, Blaine. Well, thanks a lot for coming today. Appreciate it. And I don't know when you're going to be back on the football field, but, you know, good luck to you next season, whenever that is.
All right. Well, thank you, Dan. Appreciate you having me in.
You bet. All right. Listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Iowa Realty. The Iowa Finance Authority 2019 Mortgage Credit Certificate Program can save Iowa homebuyers up to $2,000 on their federal taxes for the life of the loan for first-time homebuyers. This program awards a tax credit valued at 50% of the annual mortgage interest paid and is available annually as long as the home remains the buyer's primary residence. Dave Lewis of Home Services Lending in the Iowa Realty Ankeny office is a participating lender. You can call Dave at 515-321-5913 if you have any questions. He also has a variety of products and can handle all of your loan needs. All right, my next guest today is a former Centennial volleyball star who is getting ready for her senior season as the starting libero at Drake University, where she moved into second place all time in career digs midway through last season. She is Kylie Mackey. Kylie, thanks for coming in. How
are
you doing?
Good. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing good. Well, I know you're getting ready to head back to Drake tomorrow. Now, the Missouri Valley Conference President's Council has already announced that it will delay the start of competition in MVC fall sports until September 18th. And the league will conduct a conference-only competition in volleyball. So I guess you guys, you know, have got quite a bit of time to get ready to play, don't you?
Yeah, no, we have more time than I've ever thought I ever would have.
Well, what was your summer like? Did you have to change some of the things that you would have normally done due to the COVID-19 outbreak, you know, either on or off the volleyball court?
Yeah, so typically our freshmen come in at the beginning of June, and this summer they weren't able to come in until the first week, right after the 4th of July. So then we had our 3 weeks there where, you know, we had our scheduled time. We couldn't just really go in or come and go whenever we wanted. But scheduled time, scheduled lifting. Lifting was a bit difficult just with all the other sports there. And then they were here for 3 weeks. And since then, we haven't really been able to do anything unless you've been around. But it's been very, like, just not productive compared to a regular summer.
Well, of course, the spring sports at Drake were canceled, and the Drake relays were canceled as well. Now, the relays are such a big part of the Drake calendar every year. Did it seem strange to not have the relays on campus this year?
Oh, yeah. That was a big disappointment, I think, among everybody. It was so weird. You know, you just get ready for that whole week, too, and just nothing. It's crazy.
Well, now Drake has already canceled its football season, and it appears that the Power Five conferences are inching closer, you know, in that direction. Are you concerned if that happens, you know, that your season may get canceled as well?
Yeah, I could definitely see it getting canceled if they, all of them just straight up say, no, we're not playing, because I just don't see how they would play, not play football, but then play volleyball. I get with the spacing and like everything that comes with it, but I don't see a bright future for volleyball if football is completely done.
Right. Now, are you on pace to graduate this year, and what is it that you're studying?
I am. I'm studying advertising, and I have a marketing minor as well. So, yeah, I'm set to graduate in the spring.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, this is just kind of a hypothetical question at this point, but if your season does end up, you know, getting canceled, I would imagine that you might be given the opportunity to come back next year for your final season of eligibility, you know, just like the spring athletes, you know, were given. Do you think that's something you'd be interested in doing?
Yeah, I've definitely thought about it a lot these past couple weeks. Hypothetically, if that does happen, and either I play in the spring or next fall, I think I would probably redshirt and hope to start my master's, or if anything, I could work a couple classes around and change my schedule up, but I definitely would. I came to play 4 years, so that's what I intend to do.
Sure. Well, what are you looking to do farther on down the road with advertising? What kind of a job do you want to get in that field?
Oh, boy. That's a great question. I would love to stay around sports if I could, if that's advertising or more of the marketing side, you know, PR, whatever I could do with that. I would love to stay around, you know, what I've grown up knowing and loving is just any type of sport, if that's volleyball or not. So.
All right, well, let's talk some more volleyball. Of course, you played on three straight state championship teams at Centennial, and you were named the Iowa Libero of the Year before moving on to Drake, where you've been a key player for the Bulldogs ever since, you know, the day you arrived on campus. It seems like you made a pretty easy transition to the Division I level, but I remember you telling me before that it was a little bit of an adjustment for you, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah, that first scrimmage at Iowa State, I felt like I had no idea how to play volleyball. It was completely different pace than what I was ever used to.
We certainly picked up on it. You helped the Bulldogs to a 23-10 record in 2017 and a 21-15 mark as a sophomore. Last year, unfortunately, you guys struggled to a 9-22 mark. You know, what do you think was the difference last year? Had you guys lost a lot of seniors from the year before?
We lost three seniors from the year before. They were pretty key in our offense and defense and just our team chemistry. I think as far as last year, our numbers, we were really down. We didn't have a lot of subs to go off of. So I think that was just something that we struggled with. And, you know, we had a lot of younger kids too. So it was just trying to get them within the pace of the game. And, you know, it was just, there's a lot of different things that just didn't work out for us. But, I mean, we learned from it and we're back and ready to go more than ever.
Well, you've been incredibly consistent throughout your career. You had 486 digs as a freshman. You had 577 as a sophomore. And then you had a career-high 615 digs last season. And those totals currently rank 4th, 7th, and 11th on the school's all-time single-season list. You know, you have to be extremely proud of what you've already accomplished in your career.
I am. I'm really grateful I've ever gotten this opportunity to play. You know, if I could get that number one spot, that'd be a dream come true. But I wouldn't exchange any of the memories or the things that I've learned for that one spot, but still love to get it.
Well, you mentioned that number one spot. You know, if you look at the Drake career records, Alana Wittenberg's name is very prominent on those lists. She played for the Bulldogs from 2007 to 10 and has the two highest single season totals in school history with 633 and 764 digs. You know, do you know much about Alana and what kind of a player she was?
I had met her once. I think she interviewed for an assistant coach job or something like that. She was really nice. I just know she was very competitive and went after it on the court every single opportunity that she got. So from what I've heard, she was a really good player.
Well, she also holds that career record for digs with 2,423, and that leaves you 745 digs shy of the career mark. You know, so if you could break that single season record of 764, that'd also put you over the career mark. So that'd be a nice accomplishment to have there, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would be. It really would be.
Well, unfortunately, though, if you guys end up having like a shortened season this year, it's going to make it tough to accomplish that, mm-hmm. or you might have to come back next year. But maybe if you get to play two seasons, you might be able to do it.
Yeah, that'd be nice, too.
Well, one record that you could break would be the single game record for digs. Sarah Madden set the mark of 45 digs in 2012, and you had a career high of 34 digs in a four-set match against Bradley last year. You know, I'm sure you'd enjoy breaking that record as well, but it'd almost have to come in a five-set match, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think it would have to come from a five-set match. Like, yeah,
to get that many, sure. Mm-hmm. Well, regardless of how many matches, you know, you guys play this year, what do you think are the prospects for this team? Do you feel like you guys have a chance to bounce back?
Oh, yeah. Just having those freshmen in for the 3 weeks, it was probably some of the best volleyball I've seen from the program at this early on. We have a lot of talent coming in. We've got a lot of height, and we've got a lot of good personalities as well that I think will all combine for a really, really good team.
Well, I know you have some other key seniors back, including Emily Plock, the former Southeast Polk star. Now, I know you and Emily had some pretty good battles during high school, although I think your Centennial team, you know, may have won all of them. But do you guys ever reminisce about those high school days?
Yeah, we definitely talk about how I think it was my junior year we played them like three times, and I think they beat us every time. And then somehow we ended up going to state, and we still laugh about that. Or even like club days too. It's just so funny to see how far we've gotten from then to now, and just
sure.
Our game and just who we are as people too. It's, yeah.
Well, I'd forgotten that they'd beaten you that many times, because you guys didn't lose very many matches in high school.
No, so. It was that one year though. We could never beat them.
Huh.
I don't know.
Well, I saw where your team has added a transfer too in junior outside hitter Lindsay Pliopole, who comes to Drake from South Florida, where she led the Bulls last year with 338 kills. You know, do you think she'll have a major impact on the team?
Oh yeah, I've met Lindsay. She's competitive and she's good. She brings a lot to the table with who she is and how she is as a player, too. I'm really excited about her.
Well, you guys also have several incoming freshmen that you mentioned. They'll be joining the program, including former Centennial outside hitter Kalea Jones. You know, are you excited to have another Jaguar in the program?
I am. I'm really excited to have someone that's, you know, comes from where I am and just knows and has been around the Des Moines area, too, a long time. It will be really fun to have her.
Now, when she was being recruited, you know, did you offer her any advice or talk to her about your experiences at Drake?
I didn't really ever get the opportunity to talk to Callie that much, but, I talked to Jess too, and she had nothing but good things to say. And then, my coaches asked about her too, but no, I never actually really got a chance. I mean, she came on an unofficial visit one time, so I talked to her then, but other than that, no, not much.
Now, do you think some of those freshmen will be counted upon, you know, to contribute right away?
Oh yeah, I do. I think, all of them have an opportunity to come in and really show what they're made of and what they can do, and I mean potentially like secure a spot as well.
Well, Kalea, thanks a lot for coming in today. I appreciate it, and good luck this season. I hope you guys get a chance to play.
Yeah, thank you. Me too.
You bet. All right, you're listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Iowa Realty. Gershman Mortgage is also a sponsor of the podcast. Whether you're looking for your first home or refinancing your existing loan, Gershman Mortgage has an expert to assist you. They'll help you find the right mortgage to meet your personal needs. When you're buying your starter house, moving to a larger home, aging in place, or looking to refinance, Gershman Mortgage will be there every step of the way. You can visit their Ankeny office, call 515-964-5952, or visit gershman.com to get pre-approved today. Well, my final guest today is a former Centennial softball standout who transferred to Valley for her final season and led the Tigers to the Class 5A state title in 2019. She now pitches for Creighton University and will be heading back to Omaha later this week. She is Haley Gatica. Haley, thanks for coming in. How you doing?
Hi, I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Well, hey, I understand you just got back from vacation. Your mom told me that you went camping in West Virginia. Is that right?
Yeah. Yep.
Well, now, your boyfriend's dad is kind of a well-known former athlete, right? Do you want to tell our audience who he is?
Oh, gosh. Yeah, his name's Deron Cherry, and he was a former Chiefs player for, like, 11 years or something.
Yeah, I didn't realize how long ago was he played, because I'm about that same age that he is. But, yeah, he played, like, through the 80s, and, yeah, he had a great career there. So.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk a little softball. Congratulations, first of all, on the award that you received at the state tournament in Fort Dodge a couple of weeks ago. You were the recipient of the Jack North Award, which is given every year to the senior that receives the most votes on the all-tournament team at the previous year's tournament. You know, so that was pretty cool, huh?
Yeah, it was definitely an honor to receive the award and awesome to go back on the field. Even never thought I'd go back.
So did being back, you know, at the state tournament bring back some memories for you?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it was kind of different this year though, because, you know, obviously because of like COVID, but still had the same feeling. But it was just really funny because I was more nervous for the award than actually playing in the championship game. So I like was laughing because how funny that is.
Oh yeah. Well, you guys entered that tournament last year as the number 7 seed, you know, but then you went on an amazing run to win the title. You posted a 3-0 victory over number 2 Fort Dodge in the quarterfinals. You tossed a 4-hitter in that game. You then followed with a 4-2 win over Iowa City High in the semifinals when you threw another 4-hitter. And then the finals, you guys battled back from a 4-2 deficit to knock off the number 1 seed, Waukee, by an 8-5 score. Now, did that make it a little bit sweeter to beat Waukee in the finals?
Oh, yeah. I mean, Waukee was definitely the team to beat. So, I mean, when we played them, I think, 4 times or something like that before the championship game, and we won 50-50. So mm-hmm. That's why when we played them in the championship game, it was even more exciting because it's like it could have literally gone either way.
Well, now, going into the tournament, you guys obviously weren't the favorite to win it, coming in as the number 7 seed, but Valley certainly has one of the most tradition-rich programs in the state. You guys won the 7th state title in school history and the 6th under Coach Tom Bakey. You know, do you think that tradition helped you guys pull off what you did?
Oh, for sure. I mean, Coach Bakey, he is just so knowledgeable over the game, and he just make things work, I guess. I mean, squeezes things in. He's just an expert, so I definitely trust him with anything that deals with softball.
Well, Valley was back in the state tournament again this year for the 8th straight time, which is the 3rd longest current streak, and tied for 3rd is the longest consecutive streak in state history. You know, I thought maybe the Tigers might win it again, but they were upset by Muscatine in the quarterfinals. Were you surprised that they got beat?
I mean, of course I'm surprised because, I mean, I played for them. But at the end of the day, there's a lot of younger girls, and they haven't had the experience of playing in a game, let alone the state tournament. So, I mean, it was a great opportunity for all of them to learn just so they can grow in the future.
Now, didn't you throw against them a little bit, like in practice, to help get them ready for state?
Yeah, but yeah? Coach Vicky's not supposed to know that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I did.
Maybe you hurt their confidence by throwing too good against them or something. But, of course, your other former team, Aiken Centennial, made it to state for the first time in school history and earned a third-place finish. The Jaguars defeated Muscatine in the third-place game that same afternoon that you were honored at the tournament. So did you get a chance to watch Centennial a little bit?
Yeah, I saw Kennedy Jones, 2 bombs. That was awesome. But, yeah, they were doing super well. It was really cool to watch.
Well, yeah, I'm sure you still have some friends at Centennial, so you had to be happy for their success.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, Haley, let's talk about your first season at Creighton a little bit. Your team was off to a 13-12 start last spring before the season was canceled due to the COVID-19 outbreak. You know, that certainly wasn't the way you expected your first season, Dan, huh?
No, for sure not.
Well, you guys had won a 4-game winning streak in February, but other than that, it was kind of an up-and-down year for your team. You know, how would you assess your team's season?
For me personally, it was obviously a learning experience for my freshman year, but as a whole, I feel like this is for any team, but our team went through a lot. Like, we started with the pitching coach, then he got fired for some things that, you know, is a big deal. And so, I don't know, it was just a really big learning experience as a team as well, just for a culture change.
Well, you guys had been playing down in Florida for about a week when your game against Merrimack College on March 13th was canceled. So did you know right away that the entire season was going to be canceled?
Yes and no. What happened is after our game, some games actually stopped like halfway, but we finished our game. And we obviously knew like the coaches had something to say because they just were not talking at all. And then all of a sudden we looked over and Indiana was just bawling and we're like, oh gosh, like what's going on? It has to deal with COVID. And so then our coaches just said like, we don't know exactly about the future, but as of now, like things are canceled, so we have to go back home. So most of those teams that were playing, they actually got into a flight later that day to go back.
Now, had you been paying much attention to what was going on with the coronavirus, or did it kind of catch you off guard?
It kind of caught us all off guard because we're kind of just joking around with it at first because I think in the beginning they had some people fly into the Epley Airport or something like that, and we had to fly out of Omaha for our Texas game, so we're all like, oh gosh, like hope we don't run into them. Hopefully we don't get COVID. But then all of a sudden, you know, like now it's like a really big deal.
Well, you were one of 4 pitchers who saw some action for Creighton last season. You started 3 games and made 6 appearances overall, posting a 1-1 record with a 3.78 ERA and 16 2/3 innings of work. You know, were you happy with the way that you pitched?
Yes and no. I feel like under like the circumstances of not really having a pitching coach and kind of having to like, you know, learn by yourself and kind of go off what you know in high school. I feel like I obviously could have done better if I would have, you know, had someone to like improve like my flaws and all of that. But I mean, there's always room for improvement. I'll just say that.
Sure. Well, your lone win came in the 3rd game of the season in your collegiate debut against Toledo at San Antonio when your teammates pounded out 18 hits in a 24-1 victory in 5 innings. What always helps when your team scores 24 runs, huh?
Yeah, that was crazy.
I'll bet. Well, what was the biggest adjustment that you had to make, you know, in going from the CIML to the Division I level?
Being quick on your toes and not having guidance or someone holding your hand like the whole way. And if you make an error, it's known, I guess. They don't let those go hidden.
Well, you guys obviously didn't get to play any of your Big East conference games then last season, so I'm sure you'll be looking forward to taking some of those trips, you know, in 2021. Which of the cities in the Big East are you most looking forward to visiting?
Definitely New York, because I saw, like, all the other teams go to New York, like basketball and volleyball and all that, and I'm like, oh, gosh, I can't wait to go there.
Well, of course, the seniors on your team from last season would be eligible to come back and play again this year. Are most of them planning to take advantage of that opportunity?
Yeah, most, but like two.
Oh, okay. Now, all four of the team's pitchers should be back this year as well, if I'm not mistaken. So do you think your role will be kind of similar to what it was last year?
Honestly, funny that you say that. Two of our best pitchers actually left.
Oh, they left,
so,
huh?
Yep. So during the whole, well, one left beginning of spring break, and then the other one left during this whole like quarantine, corona. So we got a transfer from Lehigh. She's a super senior. That's what we call them. So she's like 23, and she did really good there. And then we have our other transfer from Arizona State, Michaela. And then it's me and Kate Mullally, and then another Iowan, Jenna Lawrence.
Oh, okay. That's a pretty deep staff then.
Yep. So.
Well, of course, in high school, you were always one of the team's better hitters as well. Last year, you batted .354 with four homers and 22 RBIs, and you had three hits in that state championship game against Waukee, including a double. But at Creighton, you didn't make any appearances at the plate last season, which it's not unusual because none of the other pitchers, you know, hit either. So do you miss hitting?
Oh, for sure. I for sure miss hitting.
Do you guys even practice that anymore?
No, we do not lift a bat.
They just don't want you to get hurt or something, huh?
Yeah, I guess.
Well, maybe I asked you this before, but how many different pitches do you throw?
Oh, goodness. Fast, change, drop, rise, and a slider, so five. And an off-speed drop, I guess.
That's a lot of pitches. Do you tend to throw one of them more than the others, or is it just kind of a mixture?
I like to throw a rise inside and then a curve out.
All right.
That's my go-to.
Now, there's been some concern in the last couple of days, you know, the college football season may be canceled by the end of this week. You know, the Big Ten already canceled its season today. You know, how concerned are you that, you know, your season next spring could be affected by COVID as well?
Super concerned. I mean, I feel like everyone thinks, you know, if football's not going to happen, then, like, no other sport's going to happen because they bring in the most money. And, I mean, Creighton doesn't even have a football team, but it's for sure going to affect us. So, I mean, everything changes minute by minute, but... So I have no stance on it because I'm just as lost as like anyone else.
Well, yeah, I don't think any of us know what's going to happen. So,
yeah.
Well, as far as classes go, do you think your classes will be in person this fall?
So, yeah, that's what's different about Creighton. Everything's like literally normal. Like we're doing all classes in person. And I think the only requirements is just to wear your mask. And then for the first 30 days, you can't go into another dorm.
Oh, okay. Now, are you still majoring in communications?
Yeah, in leadership.
Oh, okay. Do you know what you want to do in the future with that degree?
I think I'm leaning towards selling pharmaceuticals or like implants of any sort of the body, something like that. I'm not sure yet.
Oh, okay. Well, Haley, I just had one other topic to discuss with you. I had your mom on my podcast back in early June when we had a discussion about racism and social justice following the death of George Floyd in Minneapolis. And I know that you earned the 2018 Ankeny Youth of the Year Award after starting the Movement Club at Centennial to raise awareness of diversity and to mentor youth in the community. So what inspired you to start that club?
You know, when you travel, so I fortunately was able to travel a lot of the world and you see, you know, all this rich diversity and culture. And so when I go to Centennial, I just see that there is, you know, a lot of people who are sheltered and not really know difference between like someone who's Venezuelan and someone who's Mexican. And I was like, you know what, instead of just getting mad that they're ignorant or not knowing something, might as well just educate them over something. So I try to do it really fun as in like try different cultures, foods or like traditions, like dances, watch stuff, just to be able to be educated so when they go out into the real world or if they move or something like that, they'll be educated over, you know, the differences and not just what they grew up in.
Sure. I know your mom calls you her little activist. Are you still pretty active with your activism?
I mean, you know, being a student athlete's really hard to literally do anything else. But last year, I made time to do this thing at Creighton called the SAVE program. And what it is they take Creighton, and it offers elementary schools nearby, and I don't know if any of you guys know this, but Creighton's kind of in like a bad area, like mm-hmm. badish, you know, area, and so it gives those kids an opportunity to get bused over to Creighton to have Creighton students like help them with their homework or help them learn, and so a lot of those kids, you know, they're just looking for a mentor or just someone that shows them and teaches them that school is fun to go to and has a purpose and stuff like that. So.
Oh, sure. Well, I'm sure you've heard, you know, some people tell the LeBron Jameses of the world to just, you know, shut up and dribble. But I'm guessing that you feel like, you know, some of those world-class athletes should use their platforms to fight for social justice, don't you think?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I always like to hear what those guys have to say. I know some people don't agree with that, but you know, I think they have a right to express their opinion.
Yeah.
And they should use that platform. So, well, hey, Haley, thanks a lot for coming in today. I appreciate it. And I don't know when you'll be back on the softball field for sure, but good luck to you next season.
Yeah, thank you.
You bet. All right, you've been listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Ira Realty. I want to thank my guests again for coming in today, Blaine Hawkins, Kylie Mackey, and Haley Gatica. I think we were all dealing with some power and internet issues here in the last day or two, and appreciate all of them being flexible with their time to get in here today to get this cranked out for you guys. Ira Realty is very proud and fortunate to have Home Services Lending, Iowa Title, Midland Title and Escrow, and Home Services Insurance as part of their one-stop shopping model. They're able to help you buy and sell anywhere in the state of Iowa. They can also help you, your family and friends who are moving from anywhere to anywhere in the world through their business affiliates. If you would like information on how to become a realtor, you can call Mike Stanbro at 453-5350, or you can email Mike at mikestanbro, that's STANBROUGH, at iowarealty.com. Come back next week for another edition of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast.